We were looking at heroes in the Bible a few minutes ago, and today we're going to look at one of the most famous stories in the Bible, and it's a story that's really important, because if you actually look at the pages of the Bible, it takes all of that page, and some more on the next page. So there is a lot of words written about this story, so that always makes me think this is something that's important. But it teaches us about trusting God, and it teaches us about God's might, about the things he can do, and about his grace. But first, I want to ask, has anybody ever been scared? Why have you been scared? You were scared of what? Lightning, yes, lightning can be scary, especially when you get big bangs that come with it. Anybody else ever been scared? Let me tell you a story. Oh, somebody over there has been scared. He hates spiders. I'll tell you a little story. I was sat on my desk and I thought to myself, I ought to tidy this up because it's a mess. And I lifted some papers up. And a big spider walked out across the desk, so I don't really know what he was doing under there. He was under a pile of things to pray for, so whoever was at the bottom hadn't been prayed for. Right, but he should have been. Right, let me tell you a story of when I was scared. This is back in 1959, so this is a long, long time ago. I was about 6 years old, and our family were going to go to Scotland, and that's a pretty scary thing to do. Now, we were going to go to Scotland, there are no motorways, so it was a long way, even from where I lived. So we got up in the middle of the night, got ourselves sorted out. We lived in a flat, so I went down the stairs, and we went to the front door, middle of the night, and opened the door. And I looked out of the door, and I saw something I'd never, ever seen before. And I was only about 6 years old. There were no street lights outside. There were no lights in anybody's houses. There were no cars driving about because they didn't back in the olden days like that. There was no moon because it was all cloudy. And it was absolutely pitch black. And I needed to go out there. And I looked out and I can remember now, I can picture this. And I was thinking, whoa, this is scary. I am too scared to go out of there. But do you know what I did? There were a few steps down to the pavement. I went down the steps into the dark that was really, really scary. But the reason I did that, because when I was stood there thinking, whoa, this is scary, my dad reached out and he got hold of my hand and he said, come on, Stuart, we'll go. And we walked out into the dark. We walked down the road, we walked across a piece of rough old land that I used to play on, round the school, then we went right round the back of the swimming pool and found our garage where our car was. And you know, I ended up being able to be brave enough to do that because my dad, who I trusted, got hold of my hand. And that made a big difference. And the hero in the story in the Bible that we're looking at, he could do brave things because he knew that his heavenly Father was going to be with him. And he just knew that day by day by day. Now, who's got a good imagination? Anybody got a good imagination? You can sort of picture things in your minds? Yeah? Right, well, I need you to imagine something now. It's really hot. You know, when the sun's coming down, it's really hot. You're feeling like you're sweating. You're walking along. You're out in the countryside, walking along some hills. It's 3,000 years ago, so there are no cars. There are no ice lollies. It's you walking along, and you're walking along with a donkey. And you're plodding along and you're going uphill a little bit and you're getting a little bit tired. Your donkey has some food on its back, some parcels that you fastened on it, and it's carrying some food for your brothers. But as you walk along, you're looking that way and that way, that way, that way. And particularly if you see any rocks or anything like that that you can't see behind, you're really looking. Because where you're walking, there might be some bears. There might even be some lions who are thinking, he looks good for lunch. Now, Margaret and I once went into a forest that was really quiet. But before we went in, there were signs up saying, do not carry any food into this forest. Watch out for bears. And there were two rules for bears. One was, if you see one, make yourself look big and noisy. And the other one, for a different sort of bear, was lie on the floor and pretend to be dead. But I think if I'd met a bear, I'd be thinking, now, which one are you? Am I supposed to be lying on the floor or am I being big? And it also said, make a lot of noise. So I thought, as I walked along with Margaret, I thought, this will be a treat. I'll sing. And as it happens, we didn't see any bears. But as we walked along with me singing and talking loud, I kept looking, what's that over there? What's that over there? Because I really didn't want to stumble into a bear. But anyway, this hot walk we are imagining, we come to the top of the hill, and you see over here on this side of the platform, you see loads of men standing. Now, they're soldiers, but not in camouflage clothes like soldiers wear now. They're soldiers wearing in armor on their legs, on their chest. They've got big helmets on. They've got spears. They've got swords. And they're a big group of soldiers. And they're looking across to the other side. And on that side, there is another group of soldiers. And they look equally mean in all their armor. And then down in the middle is a valley. And you think to yourself, that's where those armies are going to go down and they're going to fight. Now, I'm going to show you a clue to see if you can guess who our hero is. And I got this to help with my garden. Here it is. So who can think who our hero is? I bought this, but it doesn't eat much grass. Who do you think it is? It's a lamb, but who do you think our hero might be? Nathan's looking like he knows. Sorry? It's David is our hero, because David used to look after sheep, and we bought that lamb, and it sits in our garden, and I still have to mow the lawn. But he's rather cute, isn't he? But we don't want to put him over there because that's where the other people are going. Let's put him round this side so he can stand there. Right. Now, David, who we've just said, I need to find David for you because he's here as well. He's hiding under this cloth. David's getting himself all caught up in that. So there's David, happy little chap, and we'll stand him in there. Now, David, even though he was young in this story, there was something special about David. The Bible describes him as only a boy. Or maybe a young man. It doesn't say how old he was, but I think he might have been 10, 12, 14, maybe something like that. So somebody really quite young. But what was special about him is that he had learned, even though he was only little, he had learned how to trust in God. And he knew who God was. He knew God was real. And much more than that, he knew he could trust in God and do that day by day. Now, there is a lot of difference between knowing about something and trusting something. Now, I've got something here, and I will in a minute need somebody to help me. Who can tell me what this is? Who knows what this is? What do you think this is? A ladder. Anybody guess what it's for? It's a ladder for a particular reason. Tim. It's for climbing, you're right. Tallulah. I'll give you a clue. It goes in my caravan and one bed is higher than another. It's a bunk bed ladder. Now I need somebody who can come and climb this ladder. So who could come and do that? Right. Right. Do you want to come down? Can you come down as quick as you can? Because we all know this is a ladder, but when Maddie comes down, she's going to come down and she's going to climb it. So we will see how she's bringing her friend with her as well. And her mum. Anybody else from upstairs want to come down? Right, we're looking for somebody brave who can climb this ladder. So I'm counting on you. Are you ready? Right, off you go then. Can you go even higher? Whoa, that is impressive. Right, is your friend going to have a go too? Because I don't know your friend's name. What's your name? Eva, right. Brilliant. Right, you get yourself down. Thank you, girls. Now, why were we doing that? I'll tell you why we were doing that. Because everybody in this room knew that this is a ladder. And we know loads of things. But Maddie and Eva changed their knowledge, something they knew in their head, into trust. They looked at this, and without realizing, they probably thought, yes, that's strong enough for me. I can climb up it. But they actually did something else without realizing. They looked at me, and Maddie knows who I am, and she probably decided, I think Stuart will want me to be safe, and I think Stuart is strong enough to hold this ladder whilst I climb it. So she looked at me, she knew things about me, and she looked at the ladder, she knew things about that, and then she put her trust in climbing up that ladder. And that's like David. He put his trust in God because he knew about God. He knew what God could do. He knew that God loved him. Therefore, he was able to put his trust in God. And listen to this. This is what the Bible says. Verse 34 to 37 of 1 Samuel 17, which is where this story is. It talks about the lions and bears. It says, when a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock. This is David talking, and he looked after sheep for his dad. I went after it. He chased after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep right out of its mouth. Then listen to what he says. The Lord rescued me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. So David's trust in the Lord was very, very real. And it affected the way that he lived. And it helped him when he needed to be brave. But he knew that it was God that helped him to fight the lion and bear. So let's get back to our story. David's now arrived where these soldiers are, because that's where his brothers were. And he's standing amongst the Israelite army on this side of the valley. So we've met our hero of the story, but now we need to meet the enemy on the other side. And I need some children to come up to be Philistines, who are the enemy. So I need, let's have as many children as we can come up, and I need you on this side of the valley, okay? I need loads of children for this, so come downstairs. as many of you as quick, as many as you can and as quick as you can, because we've got something really important to do. So all we need to be on the Philistine side. The Israelites are over there. Kath can be a Philistine as well if she wants. Right, keep on the Philistine side, guys, because that's where they are. Right, you all need to be standing, Kath. You can't come in here and just sit down. Yeah, here comes, oh, wow, this is getting into a big army. Right, you've got to keep on this side, guys. Everybody on that side, there you go. Right, on here, try and keep, we're sort of spreading into the valley a bit, but we're not doing too bad. And we all need to be facing that way, look out to that way. And I'll tell you what we're going to do. The music group's just going to start and play a beat for us, but we need to the beat to be able to stamp our feet. So if Ben could just do the beat. Are we ready? So try and stamp your feet to his... Are we ready? And then we're going to shout for the Philistine's hero, who's called Goliath. And you'll all want to look that way. Are we ready? Are we ready to start stamping? And away we go. Goliath! 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 You're on that side, Goliath. Right. Right. Thank you, kids. So we've now got the hero of the Philistine side. So thank you for calling him. And wow, isn't he big? Right. If all you children could go and sit down, that would be really brilliant. And whilst you're sitting down, Goliath here, if our Goliath just moves back a bit, he's 8 feet tall, but the Bible says the Goliath that little David was thinking about fighting in a minute was 9 feet tall. So the real Goliath is even bigger than this. Now, he had a bronze helmet on, he had armor on, he had stuff on his legs, and that in itself weighed nearly as heavy as me. So he was walking with, like me, fastened to him. And he had a spear to go with it. And this bit weighed as much as 7 bags of sugar. So that was really heavy. So I'll give Goliath his spear. So let's get back to our story, okay? We got the Israelite army on that side with King Saul and the Philistine army on that side. But I need now to tell you what's been happening before David got there. Because each day the two armies would come out and they'd line up and they'd glare across at each other. And then out from amongst the Philistines, Goliath would come out and he would taunt the Israelites like this.
Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if you overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Today I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other.
Now the Bible tells us in verse 11 that King Saul and the Israelites, it says they were dismayed and terrified. That means they were scared like mad. They were really, really scared. And this had been going on for 40 days. So every day for 40 days, they'd been scared. Now, the king was supposed to be leading his people, but he was too scared to go and fight Goliath. So he said, I'll tell you what, guys, all of you soldiers, if anybody's prepared to go out and fight Goliath, I'll give you loads of money and I'll stop you having to pay your taxes. Now that would be a good thing. But there wasn't a single Israelite soldier who was prepared to do it. And that's the situation that David walked into. And remember, David was someone who trusted in God. But there was more going on in this story than this. Because they wanted to do a one-on-one battle, and the Philistines thought that their God helping Goliath would be able to beat the real living God of the Israelites, because they thought their pretend God, their false God, was better. Now remember the ladder that we climbed up? That was teaching us about the difference about knowing something in your head and really trusting in something. And King Saul knew about the real living God. So did the Israelites. But it was in their head and not in their actions, in their trust. And they should have been trusting the real living God. But they weren't. And in fact, a few pages earlier in the Bible, King Saul had turned away from following God because he wanted to do what he wanted to do, and he probably wanted to be seen as the big king. I'm the big king of this people, you're a big king of that people. And he wasn't trusting in God. But David was different because he was trusting in God, and he'd learned to do that even when he was quite young. So as he walked towards the battle line looking for his brothers, Goliath stepped forward again for the 41st time.
Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and to kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us.
The Israelites turned and ran away because they were scared. And David stood there, he couldn't believe it. He's thinking, I know who God is. I know what God can do. He knew that God does great things. He knew that God was strong and mighty. His view and his experience of God was massive. And he knew that this very big, and he is big, Philistine was no match for the living God. And I wonder, in your life, day to day here in Bristol, how big is your view of God? How big is your experience of God? Is God just somebody that you come and talk about or sing about on a Sunday? Or is he real in your life, day to day? David didn't doubt what God could do. So he went to the king and he said to Saul, Ned, look, don't let anybody lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. In other words, little me with my great big God will go and fight that scary giant. Now, King Saul didn't have the same trust in God as David did. And he replied, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man. He's been a warrior from his youth. All Saul could see was young David and a very big, tough, experienced fighting man. So for King Saul, he had a big problem and a tiny view of God. But for David, it was really quite different, because David replied, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he's defied the armies of the living God. God is in this for David. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. So David had the same problem, but he had that problem with a very powerful God in whom he trusted. And that's the difference for each one of us in having a real trusting relationship in God. It makes a difference when we face Goliaths, when we face big problems in our lives. Because most of us think to ourselves most of the time, I can cope, I can do it. I can do that. Then a big problem comes along and it hits us for six. Because we haven't learned to trust in God day by day. We don't pray very often. We don't bring the simple things to God very often sometimes. We don't read about him and learn about him and share about him with our friends. And we don't take time to build a relationship with him. Now, let me tell you a little true story, and I've been amazed by this. I walked in here last Sunday morning, and Margaret was already in, and she was sat over there, and she picked up the news link, and she said, "Have you seen this?" So I looked at it, and it said, "Next Sunday, all-age service, Stuart Heap." And I said, "That's wrong." Steve Tinker said, "It wasn't wrong." I talked to him this morning. He said, "You obviously stood up there." I said, "That can't be right. That's not in my diary." And I actually sat over there thinking, well, maybe it is right. So I sat over there and I prayed to God and I said, if I'm doing an all-age service, I really don't know what I'm going to talk about. And I really don't think I have time to prepare this. I need your help in this, Lord. Because we're organizing the children's weekend, which is going to be brilliant and only 2 weeks away. I was doing home groups and I was also going to be teaching at Kids at Ken, and I knew I was out doing something with the church leaders on Saturday. So I thought to myself, I really don't know how this is going to happen. I then went home and spoke to one of my daughters who goes to Headley Park Church, and she said, "Why don't you talk about David and Goliath?" And I thought, "Oh, that's interesting." Then I came down here in the evening and I was chatting to Howard Tovey at the back there. And Howard said to me, "I've just built a great big Goliath." And I thought to myself, in fact, Margaret said to me, "You've got to talk on David and Goliath now." And then little David here was round at Edna's having a makeover for the children's weekend. And I rang Edna up on Monday morning and I said, "I really need..." He wasn't called David at that point. "I really need little David back because he needs to become David." And by the time I got to Edna's house, he had a costume already made. And then I chatted to Edna and I said, "I'm supposed to be doing Kids at Ken on Sunday." And Edna said, "Well, I'm away and it'd be really good if I could do next week, this week, and you do next week." And I thought, wow, that's wonderful as well. And then I was with Rob yesterday, Rob Parker, and something we need for later on. He said, I said, "I'm going to make one of those." He said, "I got one, Stuart. Do you want to borrow it?" And I thought to myself, that is really, really wonderful. Now, you might be thinking, hey, that's no problem compared with my problem. And I recognize it's only something really small. But it is actually about having a real God, a real relationship with him, and being able to be in a habit of trusting in God day by day by day for all the things that are happening in our lives. But we need to get back to the story, because Saul becomes partly persuaded and he starts to get David dressed up in his armor and all that stuff and his big sword and all of those things. And David stands there and he's thinking, "I can't really move in this. It's too big and heavy." And he didn't need that. Saul wasn't seeing God in all of this. He was hoping, maybe David is a good fighter. Maybe if I give him all my stuff, that will help. But instead, David went and he picked up 5 stones. And amazingly, because I didn't have any round stones, I pinched these out of the kitchen with permission from Rob's house. They belong to Carol and she doesn't know I have them. But they are a load of round stones that were there that just helps with this. And David picked those up and then he went and he got his sling, and that's all really that he and a staff that he had with him, and that's all that he was going to have. But Goliath doesn't see the real dog, the real God either, because he snarls this as David walks towards him.
am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?
But Goliath then prays to his false god, who isn't real, so actually isn't there at all. But David replies this, and this is really important. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down, and I'll cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. And at that they run towards each other. David grabs his stone, he puts it into a sling, which I'm not going to throw. He spins it round, and it flies across, and it hits Goliath right up there in his forehead. And Goliath falls dead to the ground. And down goes Goliath. And all the Israelite soldiers saw what God had done, and they rushed forward, and the Philistines now ran away in fear. And God got the victory for the people of Israel. They didn't deserve it, actually. That was an act of God's grace. They weren't trusting in God. David was. And some years later, David became King David. And the Bible describes him in this way, in Acts 13. I have found in David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. And David had a real heart for God. He'd learned to trust God as a young person, and he'd learned to walk in God's ways. Now, when we read the Bible, we also know that David messed up in really, really, really big ways. But he also wrote Psalm 23, one of the most famous psalms of all. And I just want to read that to you because this is a testimony from David of living a life knowing and trusting God. And this is what it says. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Listen to this line. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. That's what he knew. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Listen to these last words. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And these words are an expression of David's active trust in a loving and merciful God. They recognize, and if you read about David, he went through really, really hard times. He was on the run a lot of his life. Even his family were trying to kill him. There had been sadness, but he could still say with real confidence, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So learning to trust God at an early age established that pattern. But look what he said at the end of that. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He knew what was happening forever to him. And let me challenge you with this. Do you actually have a real and active trust in the real living God? Can you trust in the goodness and love of God as you face the Goliaths, the problems in your life? And are you actually doing something, actively building a relationship and your trust in God day by day? Do you come into him in prayer? Do you read the word? The Bible tells you, if you want to know what God's like, we need to look at the life of Jesus. Do you look at the things Jesus did in the New Testament? And you think to yourself, wow, can I see just the wonder, the love, the grace, the might, the justice of God? And do you have an assurance of being with God forever, as David was testifying at the end of Psalm 23? Or maybe you're sat here this morning thinking, this concept of trusting in God, it's just alien to me. It's outside of my experience. And if that is you, David said a word for you as well in Psalm 34. He said this, "Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." And knowing and trusting in God starts with a simple prayer. You don't have to deserve it. The Israelites' army were rescued even though they weren't following and believing in God. They were rescued because of part of God's character, which is grace, which is doing things for us even though we don't deserve them. They experience God's mercy and grace. And right now, any one of us in this room can seek out the Lord. You can taste and you will see that he is good. And you can take your refuge in him. All you need to do is to come humbly in prayer, recognizing he is God and who you are. Seeking his love, seeking his forgiveness. And you, like many of the people here this morning, will know that it is good to know and trust God, that it is very, very good. Jesus made that possible. He made it possible for us to know God in a real way. And that's not been a big chunk of what I've spoke about this morning, but it was looking forward to Jesus that made it possible for David too.